All right. What up, Madtown? It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're tuned in to the Black Convergence Show, where politics and my personal opinion converges, okay? I've been out of the studio for a few weeks. I've been doing a lot of traveling, and then I couldn't figure out a schedule to record my show. So I know you guys have missed me and my beautiful voice, and I have missed you too. And as we get into or conclude on 2025 and move into 2026, there's so many lessons learned, but I'll wait, I think, until next week to do lessons learned from 2025 from Brandi Grayson. And I mean, I've had some hard lessons learned in 2025, and lessons learned usually means a lot of pain. So before we even talk about that, we'll deal with that next week. But I start my show every week with an introduction and just a check-in. And as you guys may or may not know, one of my favorite white boys, Luke, is no longer with the radio station. Boo! I miss you, Luke. But my other favorite white boy, Parker, is in the studio with me. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with my white boy, Parker. He is Superman during the nighttime. Looks just like Superman. So he's my new
Spider-Man. See,
Jesus,
that's how long that's how long it's been. You already forgot.
Yeah, I forgot you were Spider-Man, not Superman. He's Parker. What is Superman's name? Luke?
I have no idea.
Me neither.
That'd be really funny if it was Luke, actually.
Okay, never mind. Parker. Parker is Spider-Man. So, Parker, how are you doing today?
Doing okay. A lot of changes going on right now. The show that I normally produce in the mornings, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, is going to be ending tomorrow.
Oh, boo. That's sad.
Yeah. Pat Kreitlow, he works for Courier Newsroom, and he has his own publication, Up North News. They are pulling him back in so that he can put his full time into there.
Oh, okay.
Starting after tomorrow. So, yeah, we're figuring stuff out. We're having a good time. Yeah. Changes are scary, but they're fun.
They're good,
so, you know,
and they're necessary, right? Because everything in our world is impermanent.
Yes.
But also, Civic Media has bought a new radio station in Milwaukee.
Yes, I just saw that come in yesterday. Yeah.
Oh,
and
my
as well
goodness.
As a new
newspaper.
Yeah, the Milwaukee Courier, I believe.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Civic Media owns how many stations?
Oh, boy. Put it this way. When I started, I think it was close to 20. And that was in May. I want to say we're over 35 probably,
that
plus, if
nuts.
I had a guess. I'm not sure.
Let's just say that's white power right there, Parker. And Civic Media is, you know, 92.7 FM is ran by Civic Media. But that is white power, being able to purchase stations, news outlets to tell your stories to, that's just power. Like, media control is power. So shout out to y'all. Shout out to Civic Media and the team. And those are my white people. So hopefully that white power twinkled over here.
I do want to make sure, like, Civic Media, we are the, like, broad network. But also what we try to do is we try to enhance those local voices.
Yes.
So when we buy a station, that means that we're just helping them support them, what they do. We're trying to emphasize that they keep doing those local stuff.
Yes.
We keep having local shows like this one.
Yes.
So, yeah,
progressive radio, y'all.
Yeah.
Else I wouldn't be on it. Okay, so, but big ups to Civic Media for all the amazing work you're doing across the country, because it's not just Wisconsin. And again, you're tuned into the Black Convergence Show with your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, the woman in Dane County, Wisconsin, that most people love to hate to love, but can't help but to love me, okay? The Black Convergence Show is rooted in politics and tea, but today we're going to talk about narcissism. I was born in a narcissistic family, and it's weird how narcissism works. And I'm not talking about the idea or attributes. I'm talking about the actual personality disorder, because I feel like people throw around that word a lot. And every one of us as human beings have narcissism attributes. Like, I have the attribute of authority, right? Like, so I think I'm the authority. And it comes across in the way that I speak, the way that I show up, And the thing that separates me from not being a narcissist, even though I embody the trait, is my self-awareness and my ability to reflect and my ability to have empathy and compassion for other people. Those are key factors that matter. And folks who have the what they call NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, they are fractured, meaning that they've experienced a lot of trauma in their childhood. And they've have fractured like inside, like their personality is fractured. So they're unable to connect with like human feelings or how else I'd say that? They're unable to connect or recognize that other folks aren't an extension of them. It's like folks, some people with autism also have that challenge of like, if you feel something, that doesn't mean I feel it. It means like my humanness or my person persona is separate from yours. So some folks are fragmented, so they can't actually perceive your needs. They can't feel for you. And because it's rooted in trauma, oftentimes they actually don't love themselves and they're often very insecure and fragile egos. So we're going to talk about that today. That's going to be my topic because I've been experiencing a lot of that in my work. And I've just had like this epiphany the other day as I was reflecting on my childhood and some other stuff. I often do that in the month of December. But before we get into that, I also want to give you an update on me because I didn't check in and you guys haven't seen me in forever. And I know that you love my business. So I have been, for our new listeners who are not used to listening or tuning in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, I am the CEO, founder of Urban Triage, a local nonprofit organization serving vulnerable communities we do multiple things, but the main thing we do is direct services. We run about 8 housing programs. We also have agriculture programs and educational programs. So big ups to my team, my board, and all those amazing people. But over the last couple weeks, about 2 or 3 weeks, I've been traveling like crazy. I was in Denver at the System Alignment Innovation Hub. It's a kind of fellowship or program our organization was part of through the Robert Woods Foundation. They provide funding for urban tree in our work and also training leadership development. So me and my team were down in Denver on campus, Denver University as part of their research conference. It was really good, all based in social justice and equity. We talked about how to come up with different language since DEI and saying Black is no longer allowed or acceptable when you write grants or you talk about the population you serve. You also can't talk about LGBTQIA. Some people think it's just on a federal level. But what happens in our society, in our communities, is when a system like our federal government gives permission for white people or racist or anti-Black people or anti-DEI folks to be anti, they do. And they do it loudly, right? Which is one of the reasons Target is currently boycotted across the country and other businesses are being boycotted. But before I digress, we were there for a week. It was an amazing experience. I met some folks from this organization called healthyequity.org. And I plan on connecting with them and doing their leadership fellowship program, signing up for them, you got to apply. So hopefully they accept me. So I'm really geeked about that. I'm always excited to educate myself and do the work of leadership development. And also, after coming back from Denver, I came back from Denver on a Friday. And then that Monday, I left for Puerto Rico as part of a Community First Foundation Transformative Justice Fellowship Program, which is part of GAR, which is like government something something. But their fellowship was based on working with government agencies and community-based organizations. So I got a free trip to Puerto Rico.
That's very, very nice. I had a professor that would always say, like, yeah, there's like these safety things that we need to do, but they always throw it into like some awesome country, so you actually go.
Yeah. And Puerto Rico used to be its own country until white folks came over and colonized it. But, you know, it's like, but the amazing thing about Puerto Rico, having been in Puerto Rico for that week, is there's so much culture. And they always give homage to the Spaniards, which are the white folks who came over back in the day colonizing, like the folks who went across the globe trying to whitenize everything. And also the black folks, they don't call them black. They call them something else. And then the Aboriginal or an indigenous people. And they have another name for that, which is starts with a T, but I don't know the name. It's
Is it Creole? Is that?
Mm-mm,
no.
Mm-mm. They had a whole different word, okay. But I should have took notes and did better. But I took a lot of tours. I spent a day, I should have took notes, in this city that was founded by people known as black who were enslaved and then rebelled. And they still have pictures, notes, and like artwork of it. And they still have the history. It was wonderful. And we listened to folks who were still living there. And we were there all day. And it was amazing. It was amazing. So Puerto Rico was also enlightening because every time I go to a place that's an island, it reminds me of how I need to get out of Madison and how this is not for me. And I come back even sadder that I even had to return. But I just want to big ups to everyone who organized the fellowship. And it was our last trip and our last, you know, time being together. And I've learned so much through that transformative fellowship program. And it was part of a City Madison initiative. And it was City Madison, Jess Dane, and Urban Triage. But at the end, it was only Urban Triage left attending the fellowship. That often happens when in collaboration with white people. And I keep saying white people because it's white institutions, y'all. And this particular fellowship was supposed to be for us to develop stronger partnerships, relationships, for us to develop analysis of how to work together when conflict is occur, or when, you know, when you're working with government and community, there's going to be disagreement. When you're working with humans, there's going to be disagreements. So you just have to figure out how to work through it, get clearing, meet in the middle somewhere. But about time we got to the second or third trip, most people that were other than Urban Triage stopped attending because they didn't find value in it. And I think that's some of the challenges with existing in Madison and Dane County is folks actually don't find value in doing the work of working with communities because they don't find communities valuable until they need to use you as a token. And Urban Triage is often used as a token organization. Sometimes I don't mind because we get paid. Sometimes we get a big check. So I'm like, come on, we'll be your token black organization this week. Okay. But that's how the system works. But shout out to everybody that was part of the fellowship. I've learned so much. I work with people, black people, in different municipalities and government agencies across the country. They stretched me, expanded me, made me just aware of how my own stuff shows up. And I always can appreciate that reflection and self-discovery. But again, today on the Black Conversion Show, we're going to talk about narcissism. And for people who don't know, I was raised in a narcissistic family. Even I've had foster parents that were narcissistic. My biological mother suffered for some, I don't think she was diagnosed as a NPD, but she was diagnosed as bipolar with some schizophrenia and some other things. But it was, when we talk about diagnoses as it relates to DSM, which is where it explains all this, the psychological disorders or diseases or mental health issues, a lot of times they're in like a cluster or a spectrum. So some of the attributes or characteristics of being, you know, not having empathy, not being able to connect to your children or be able to connect emotionally with people around you is seen in a lot of those diagnosis. So when I say that I was raised in environments with narcissistic people, I mean narcissistic traits and folks that probably should have been diagnosed with NPD. So when we come back, we're going to talk about eugenics and the system of eugenics and why that is the foundation of America and colonization and how narcissism plays in that. You are tuned in to 92.7 FM, Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest, one of the people you love to hate but hate to love but can't stay away from. I will be returning in a few seconds, so don't leave because you know I got the tea and the juice.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, your girl, Brandi Grayson, is back. Quick break. You're tuned into 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with politics and my personal opinion converge. prior to break, I was just checking in about what I've been doing over the last couple of weeks, traveling, educating myself, doing leadership development. And of course, most of my framework on this particular show is rooted in systemic racism and analysis of, you know, what we're facing in this world. And again, most of my commentary is personal opinions, but I also like to bring in facts. I think one of the facts that we cannot argue with or about is that white supremacy racism is a real thing. It is systemic. We can see it. And I think Trump makes it very hard for us to deny it. This particular man made comments last week after that famous actor and producer was murdered by their son, his wife. What is his name? Parker Ryan.
The Reiner family. I believe it was Rob, and I don't know what the
wife Michelle.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, Rob and Michelle. So they were murdered by their son. Their throats were cut, which is crazy and graphic. But Obama responded with this, words of compassion, empathy, and the Reiner's family's impact on the world and how they were all about taking care of people and justice and all that. And then Trump responds and he says, basically, he deserved to die because he was about justice. That's your president. And that's what white supremacy looks like, and narcissism. So that's why we're going to talk about narcissism, because he is actually a textbook narcissist. He doesn't, like, everything reverts back to him in conversation. His words actually doesn't make much sense. His ability to grammatically put things together and like connect the dots aren't there. He lacks empathy, love. He lacks humanness. And that is, he's a textbook example of a narcissist. And I like to compare white supremacy to narcissism, because white supremacy is this idea of what they call like this grandiose God complex, that white folks is the prototype. And not all white folks agree with it, right? Like, there are white people who don't agree with what their ancestors have done in the system of white supremacy. And the part that's hard for us to confront is the privilege and the access and the resources and the opportunity that they continue to have access to, and their unwillingness to let go. And I mean let go. Like, in order to fix what's being done, there has to be reparations, right? So the conversations around reparations get real funny acting, especially when it comes to people known as Black. When it comes to Jewish people, we're good with that. When it comes to people known as Black who have built the whole America with their bones, their sweats, and blood, and have given up their own attributes of humanity because existing in toxic environments causes you to lose some of that, your attributes of caring and compassion or grief, and your ability to feel articulate and be present for yourself and your children. So we're going to talk about that today. And I want to first give you a solid base of where this system of white supremacy comes from, and then give you access or reference point to narcissism. So do me a favor, Parker, you guys are just tuning in, you're listening to Black Conversion Show with your hostess, Brandi Grayson. Go ahead, Parker, play the clip about eugenics.
What is it about? What's the reason?
What people don't realize is, as Dr. Frances Cress-Welsing said in her book titled The ISIS Papers, you're dealing with the war of genetic annihilation. White people are dying faster than they are being born. And this is according to the United States Census Bureau. They have determined that by the year 2042, white people will be the minority in America. They're currently the majority. When it comes to the birthing rates, the majority of abortion clinics, roughly 78 to 82% of them, are in the inner city neighborhoods, Black, brown, and impoverished neighborhoods. The majority of fertility clinics are in the higher neighborhoods, higher zip code, people who make more money, and for the majority, white, or again, those who are in a higher tax bracket. You have to look at that. This is a strategic assault on people who are Black, brown, and impoverished. It is absolutely a guaranteed strategic maneuver to get rid of human beings. And you say, why are they just focusing on population control? You dealing with individuals in your mind.
Right.
It is a system that we understand, and the system is trying to survive. It was a system that was put in place to guarantee their superiority and everyone else's inferiority.
Right.
Period. The moment they realize that their numbers are dwindling when it comes to population growth is the moment they realize they had to do something about it. Hence the system of eugenics being established under Francis Galton, cousin to Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin, man is an animal, man came from monkeys. No. Don't get mad at me, get mad at Charles Darwin. His cousin is Francis Galton. Sir Francis Galton, meaning he was knighted. He's the one who came with the system of eugenics. Eugenes, meaning good stock, good genetics. Anyone who was not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, is feeble-minded, life unworthy of living, should not not be on this planet. That came from him. From him, you had the rest of the system that went from Nazi Germany. Adolf Hitler was inspired by California. Let's make this very clear. When it comes to shots, Adolf Hitler utilizing the system of eugenics and putting shots in people and all of that, that came from him being inspired by the system of eugenics being implemented here in the sterilization programs that were taking place in California on black women, brown women, and black men in particular. So even when it comes to what happened in Nazi Germany, you gotta look at the system of white supremacy. I don't know if y'all know that by now, but this is what we're dealing with. So when you asking that question, what is the point? Why? If I recognize that I took a damn country and really a world roughly 6,000 years ago, again, not every white person today has done that. A lot of white people today can't stand the past of their ancestors. They do their best to get away from that.
Right.
But they have to be aware and be able to confront what it is that they're dealing with. This system does not want to give up power, bro. It will not as long as it exists. And the only way it's going to give up power is if it dies, but it's going to take down as many of us with it as it can. You're dealing with a self-destructive devil. You gonna take me down? I'm taking you down with me.
All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to 92.7 FM. That was my guy, RZA. He runs this organization. I can't remember the name of it. What does it say on the screen, Parker? RZA?
RZA Islam.
Yeah. So a lot of folks will not listen to him because he's Islamic. But I want to encourage you guys to look up everything he just talked about. The names, the dates, the dots that he connected for us. Blue hair, blonde hair, blue eyes is still the prototype for beauty in America. It's still that. And statistically, if you look at where Planned Parenthood is and how it got started and why it got started, it'll provide some historical context. When we get back, when I get back from break, we're going to talk about narcissism and how being superior or considering yourself superior or better than someone else or God complex is the very foundation of narcissism. And we're going to talk about how that creeps into us as individuals, our lives, our community, and our families. So stay tuned to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mustache, and the host people love to hate and hate to love. Stay tuned. All right. Your favorite hostess, Brandi Grayson, is back on the scene here on 92.7 FM, spreading the news, the love, the community, the joy, the analysis, the education, whatever you need. I got you here on the Black Conversion Show. So prior to break, we had listened to a clip about eugenics and the system that really is the foundation for where we're at today, the system that will destroy itself to prevent from not being number one or superior. And when we talk about superiority, we're talking about the prototype of humanity, this idea that white people are it, the gods, the Christians, the idea that white people have to save the world from itself. And the irony of all of that, y'all, I don't know if y'all are aware, but white people were probably the last race to be created, you know, like in, if we think about humanoids or the evolution of people, people that look like me are black as blue. I mean, because people that came before me were so black, they look blue. But they were actually the folks that, birthed the world. There was no white people around, y'all. So I find it quite ironic and funny that white people actually think they're the prototype and think that everybody needs to look like them. But I also understand that when you're attempting to survive and make yourself number one, that, I guess, the survival of the fittest, isn't that what Darwin said? That you will, you know, kill people or kill yourself or animals or, you know, people who operate kind of from the primate brain, or some people like to call it reptilian brain, operate from that space where you actually don't feel for other people. You don't see their humanism, which is weird, y'all. I wake up, y'all don't understand. I know I'm a CEO of a nonprofit taking care of people, but our nonprofit, Urban Triage, was birthed from my desire to heal, support, and provide for people. And that has been very messy. So that's another conversation. But the reason I bring that up is that it becomes really odd to me and unfathomable. I can't actually wrap my brain around hating people or seeing, like, meeting someone and not seeing their humanity. So I know that I talk about white or black or racism a lot, especially in this on this platform. But that doesn't mean I hate white people. I actually feel empathy and compassion towards people that don't get that we all get to exist. And we all get to exist and actualize how we see fit. It makes me really sad, actually, that people exist in our world that are filled with so much hate. And narcissism is a perfect example of that. And I, as someone who is a very empathic person, I feel everything. When I walk into a space, I can feel what people are feeling and thinking, which makes me also a very good facilitator. So when I'm teaching, I know what you're thinking before you even say something. I read body languages very well, but my empathic personality and my ability to connect with energies and auras is because of my trauma, right? Because I grew up in a childhood that was filled with chaos all the time. So what that taught my brain was is to pay attention to the details and a lot of times the unspoken details. So I was able to maneuver around the world. In my world, in my environment, which also makes me an amazing CEO because I can do a million things and I can see ahead way differently than most people around me, which is also causes problems because people can't see what I see. But that's just a little bit about what trauma does. But trauma also can result in people being fractured and what they call fragmented from inside, creating these personalities of narcissism. And trauma creates it, and we live in a macro system that's rooted in narcissism. Like I said before the break, Trump is a perfect example of that, and people who support him is a perfect example of that. It's like they're delusional to his narcissism, his harm, and they justify it. And oftentimes, when women specifically are abused by narcissists, everybody around, even people who say they're their friend, will jump to defend the narcissist, because narcissists have ability to be very charming, very loving, and they take on different faces depending on who they're around and personalities. So what I've learned in narcissistic relationships is the narcissist will start off very much so love bombing. And what that means is they make you feel special. I mean, give you flowers, get you gifts. They study you, they model you, they know your vulnerability, they know what to say, they mirror you back to you. So if you're an empathetic, kind, loving person, they will learn you, study you, and start mirroring that to you. And if you're not aware, which most of us aren't aware, because I, as an empathic person, have a hard time seeing evil, because what happens in our world as humans, we project what and who we are onto other people, and that is not always true. And you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM, so thanks for tuning in. So they love bomb you, and sometimes you feel like they're your soulmate, like you really believe it. And I've been in a relationship with a trauma bond, and I felt like this was my soulmate. And no matter what he did, how much he cheated, how much he put his hands on me, I could not break loose. And even when I tried to break loose, the moment that I would see him or have contact, I would go right back into that trauma bond. And that was my nervous system responding to familiarity and feeling like this, maybe I did something wrong, or maybe I'm not understanding because this is my soulmate, because the love bombing and the gaslighting will have you thinking that way. But before I continue to speak on the attributes and characteristics of narcissists, let me give play this clip by MJ, who's a TikTok influencer. Y'all should follow him. He's really, really, really good, matter of fact. But anyway, go ahead, Parker, play the clip for me.
You cannot have a healthy relationship with a narcissist. There's no way around it. This is my opinion. If you want to continue to try to work that out for yourself, go for it, all right? But I'm going to tell you this right now. When it comes to narcissism, it is so much worse than what so many people think it is. Because narcissism, from a mental health perspective, narcissism falls into the same category of diagnoses as sociopaths, as borderline personality disorder. It's what we call a cluster B personality disorder. Google this. Google it if you just want to have some quick reading, all right? And with borderline personality disorders, do you know that there are therapists out here who, in a lot of cases, won't treat someone who has a borderline or narcissism or sociopath? Why? Because you can't treat them with medicine. And even doing talk therapy where they're sitting in your chair, in a lot of cases, that's not enough. These people are so broken that there are therapists out here who will say, I don't want to work with narcissists because they will come in and will try to manipulate me. The same provocative, sadistic, confrontational behavior that they bring to you all, they take to their therapists. And so therapists don't even want to deal with them. So what makes you think that if someone who is trained in mental health doesn't even want to deal with them and be paid to deal with them, what makes you think that you can somehow or another stick around long enough or push that person hard enough or cry enough to get this person to be a better person for you? Narcissists are people who are inherently broken. And even when they are fixed, it's almost like trying to fix a broken mirror with duct tape. Is it possible? Well, in theory, sure. But that mirror is still going to be something that you're not going to want to use. Trying to fix a narcissist will end up breaking you because these people can't be fixed. So in my opinion, the best thing you can ever do for a narcissist is to not be in relationship with one. Focus on healing yourself and then finding someone who's healthy enough to show up for you in a way that's going to allow you to have a healthy relationship with one another. And narcissists, frankly, just are not those types of people.
You cannot.
That is so real, y'all. And that's the challenge of recognizing like you're not crazy, right? And as women, too, we are often, I don't know the word for it, people just don't believe us. And oftentimes, you're the one that looks crazy. So I'm just going to connect the dots again. You're tuned into 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show. We started off talking about eugenics, and which is the foundation and system that is that white supremacy is based on. Eugenics is a systemic strategy to make sure that white people can survive. White as a race is recessive. And in order for white people to survive, they have to get away. They have to get rid of black and brown people. Because when you mate with black or brown people, then it messes up the white gene, right? Because black is a dominant gene. So the idea of the eugenics is let's depopulate brown and black people. Let's get rid of black and brown people. One of those strategies is immigration, right? Let's get them out of our world so that we can maintain as much control in whiteness as possible, right? And they'll do anything to save their race. And that in eugenics is rooted in superiority, right? This complex, this God complex that we are the ones. So we have the right and we have the authority and the freedom to do whatever we need to do to maintain our race, right? So that's why we're connecting narcissism in it, because narcissism also has those similar attributes. And when you listen to Trump and you listen to other folks who think they have this God complex or this entitlement complex, you can see it play out. So on a macro, we live in a world that's rooted in narcissism, if you understand, like this God complex. I hope you guys are making that connection. And then for narcissism in individual relationships, it ends up being compounded because of trauma. So not only are we getting it from the macro, from patriarchy and things like that, you end up getting it in your family dynamics or sometimes institutions and churches and things like that. Look it up. I'm not going to get into too much detail around it, but what happens in an individual relationship with a narcissist is they manipulate you so bad that you can't even tell if your thoughts are your own. You no longer believe yourself. You can no longer trust yourself. You end up having like anxiety. You end up getting sick. It's because of love bombing. It's like this seesaw. And I can speak directly to it because that's been my experience. So the love bomb you, you're everything to me. Gaslighting, they make you question your own reality about everything, blame shifting, no matter what happens, what they did. If you caught them, you walked in to a narcissist cheating with your best friend, they're going to blame shift. They're going to blame you and make it somehow your fault. Silent treatment, and then they'll just stop talking to you, and then they'll come back and gaslight you again or love bomb you, and they bring other people into the mess, what we call triangulation. That was one of the most harmful things in my last relationship. They not only brought their family into it, they brought the community into it. And let's just be accountable. And if you're in a relationship with a narcissist or have, you're accountable for that. You're accountable because you... After a while, you've noticed the red flags. And also be gentle with yourself because it's a psychological warfare. It's like it's a trauma bond, and it's one of the hardest things to get over as a human. Like it's one of the hardest things you'll do if you've ever been in an abusive relationship with a narcissist. And I don't think people understand that. And I think the reason I'm bringing this up, because if we could understand that the relationship between individuals in a narcissistic relationship is traumatic, and downright toxic and leads to the death of people, spiritual, mentally, emotionally. Could you imagine what that narcissistic relationship to white supremacy would take for us to break our trauma bond with white supremacy? And people known as Black, we have this kind of Stockholm syndrome where we are in love. We are so in love with the proximity to whiteness and the need to have and be white, or the need to degrade, devalue Black people, right? And I'm saying that for all Black people. Black women, we say Black men ain't crap. Black men say I'm dating white or other people because Black women are angry and y'all don't listen and y'all demasculate us, which is all ignorance and dumb. But it's all based in this crazy triangulation or this relationship we have with whiteness, which leads to this narcissistic type of bond and trauma bond, which leads and keeps makes us actually more sensitive to even being in a narcissistic relationship in our personal lives. And then after all of that triangulating, manipulating, they'll break up with you, come back and then blame you and then tell you you're everything and do everything you need to do to get back with you. And then they hover if you leave them. They'll stalk you. And then sometimes you think that's love. They'll call you 100 times. They'll show up everywhere you at. That's not love. So you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM. When we return, we're going to conclude in our conclusion on narcissism. I hope I'm making the connection to you with you or for you on the macro and the macro and the micro and how our whole system affects our individual systems and institutions. Stay tuned to 92.7 in Black Conversion Show. I'll be back in a jiff.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, your girl, Brandi Grayson, is back on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, where politics and tea meets me. All right, so we got to wrap this up and get this out of here. But before I go, there's a couple things that we were talking about before break, which is narcissism. But there's some things that I didn't say. So they gaslight you. They twist your words. They blame. They project. There's no accountability. There's no empathy, y'all. None. And then after it's all said and done, they hover. They come back and they stalk you. They tell you they love you. They send you flowers. And then they project. Everything that they've done to you, they'll accuse you of doing. And then they'll twist your words, y'all. Like, you know, if you're in this type of relationship, you got to get out. And I know it's not easy because I have had an extremely terrible time trying to break that trauma bond. And it's my reminder to anyone that's in an abusive or toxic relationship that it's not love. Trauma bond is your nervous system being familiar with something, and your soul, though, is telling you to run, and your nervous system is telling you to stay because you've been, it's familiar. And a lot of folks who have childhood trauma, we've had that kind of relationships with our parents, our people who were supposed to love us, people who were supposed to care for us. So when we have a similar relationship with a partner, an intimate relationship, we think it's love because our brains and our nervous system, that's all we know. But the honest to God truth, y'all, is that we got to run fast because narcissists hate themselves. They're very insecure and they hate you. I'm going to give you an example. In my last situation with a narcissist, this person, our whole relationship, he was still having sex with his baby mama. His baby mama would come around me and act like we were cool. She would hug and kiss me and be like, you know, girl, I just appreciate you and I'm gonna give you your props. But the whole time she was literally sleeping with him. And the reason I bring that up is because he had triangulated her so good for 13 years and still is doing that, that he can bring her in at any time. And she hasn't had other relationships because the trauma bond that you have with this person, he has with other women. And this could be for women too, y'all. Narcissists are more prone to be men, but it happens for women too. There's women narcissists. And the thing about it is that after you go through this roller coaster of love bombing, questioning yourself, this and that, sabotaging your confidence, you don't believe your own self. And when you try to explain it to people, they're like, just leave, girl, just leave. But your nervous system actually won't let you. Like you're constantly in this kind of flux of, but I love him, but I love him. And maybe he'll get better, or maybe he's not going to get better, especially a straight out narcissist personality disorder. Now, there are trauma responses that mimic narcissistic personality attributes. And even those, you is too dangerous, right? And this particular individual I'm talking about, if I was out and about with him, he would be so nice to everybody. Everybody get drinks. Everybody in our community loves him. And then if I stood too close to a dude that day, when we got home, he would slap me, right? Or shrink me down a size or try to humble me. And I just thought if I stuck with him, if I stuck it out, if I showed him that I loved him. And the thing about being an empath like me, we really think that we can heal everybody. It's one of the most naive, stupid things that we could ever do or think, but that's me. So I have to practice self-awareness all the time. And it shows up not just in my intimate relationships, it shows up as me as a manager of people. Like, I've had people work for me that are out to destroy urban triage, like literally infiltrators. And I'm like, oh, we can make this work. What do you need? Like, it's almost like empaths set themselves up to be people's, I don't know what to call it, but through therapy, reflection, self-discovery, I'm getting better at recognizing it in me. So I encourage all you guys to do that. We just have to do the reflection work and realize that if you're in a relationship with a narcissist or someone who has these trauma responses, they do not love you. And this particular person I'm talking about would actually talk about me to everybody around him. I mean, negative, but I didn't know. So I would be around him smiling, but the whole time he's telling his baby mama that I'm not nothing. He's telling people that I, like, just all these crazy lies, that I'm cheating, that I'm lying, that I'm a fraud, and that I'm stealing money, like all the things that the community would say about Brandi Grayson, he was actually reiterating it. But then we'll pick up the phone and be like, I love you. I got your back. Whatever you need. Like, it's psychotic and it's crazy, y'all. And I can't even believe sometimes when I think about it that I was wrapped in it, wrapped up in it. And I still have moments where I'm just like, I think about this person and I think like, maybe I'll make it work or maybe it's just me. But I just want to point out that's how trauma bonds are so, I don't know another word for it. Parker, do you have a word for it?
Annoying as hell.
Annoying as hell. Traumatic as hell.
Yeah.
And you can't even explain it because as a part of this macro system of narcissism, you know, based on white supremacy, we don't really care about people. So when people are trying to explain the psychological damage that they're undergoing or mental health challenges, if we can't see the disability or we can't see the trauma, then we just like, girl, get over it. And especially in Black communities. And can we also point out here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, that Black women are always take the blame, right? And then with what narcissists do, they will record you. They will record you acting a fool, getting emotional, going, you know, hitting the door with your hip, okay? And then you'll look like you're the bad person. And if you're a Black woman, you're already considered to be the bad person. And don't let it be someone like me who's outspoken, who's dark-skinned, because now not only did I hit the door, now I am loud. So it has to be her because she's a bully anyway, and she's aggressive anyway, and she's a fraud anyway. So of course the story that's being told has to be true, right? So anyway, I just share all of this to say to y'all, as we get ready to get into 2026, where all of us hopefully is moving to reflection, self-discovery, evolution, and elevation, pay attention to the people around you. Because sometimes the people that say they love you don't love you. And sometimes the person you sleep in with is your biggest hater. And sometimes the person you sleeping with is actually the demon, like a monster. But to everybody else, they're the most charming person. But if you roll back the information or the facts, it's demonic. I mean, like real life demonic. So I'm going to encourage us to continue to do the work on ourselves, reflection, and be gentle with other people and stop being so judgmental, because y'all quick to point out other people mess. And if we pull back your blanket, I'm sure your bed is messy, ugly, stinking, smelling like eggs, fish, and toes. But anyway, here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, I am Brandi Grayson. And until next week, y'all know y'all stay hot in the head. Oh, and Urban Triage and Brandi Grayson is throwing a New Year's party. So follow Urban Triage page. It's going to happen at Bernal's, the first woman's sports bar on New Year's Eve. So come and join us for a lot of hip hop, R&B, and New Year's celebration. Peace, love, and hair grease.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.